Extreme Anime Radio. That is wet. It's the Extreme Anime Radio Podcast for April 3rd, 2024. And yes, it's howling outside, at least in my area. JR here joining you in the first podcast of April, along with my co-host, Mr. Neff Canuck. How are things in your neck of the woods, sir?
Wet, wild, and soon to be white, if the weather report is to be believed.
Oh, no. In April?
Yep. April Fools came a little late this year.
Ugh. Hey, don't make any jokes about April Fools, huh?
Well, we, you know, could do that, but I'll be nice for tonight.
Well, thank you. Yes, April Fools, it was a foolish birthday of somebody, and it was mine. We have some fun times the last couple of streams, and again, I want to take this opportunity here on the podcast now to thank everybody for the birthday wishes. Much obliged. We had fun with Mario Kart, a little Jackbox earlier in the week. And of course, we continued Apollo Justice. The cogwheels are turning and turning and turning even more the more we play the game.
Yeah, it's like things are slowly starting to come together. And I'm going, this is a weird way for everything to suddenly, you know, mesh together. And it's like, okay, but then I remember it's Ace Attorney. The logic and, you know, reason and pathways don't apply much.
So, so we will be having that available for you to watch on the Twitch replay for a couple of weeks as per usual. But we won't be continuing Apollo Justice for a couple of weeks because of some vacations that are coming up. So later in the month, we will go back to Apollo Justice. Next week, we will figure out what we're going to do as far as streams are concerned. But yes, we haven't done a podcast here in a few weeks, so we're back here with this. And we remind everybody before we get into the conversations, as per usual, if you're watching us, you'd like to take us on the road, go to anchor.fm/anime radio, powered by Spotify. And if you're listening to us and you'd like to see what's going on, which is going to become very apparent here in just a moment, go to Twitch at twitch.tv/extremeanimeradio. You can also look us up on YouTube at least 24 hours after the Twitch stream. Just look for the Extreme Anime Radio Podcast. So now, Neff, I've configured the screen here, so we're going to change the view here a little bit, and we're going to show off your latest acquisition after a few weeks. How does it feel?
Now this makes 6 days with this car, because there was a bit of a delay because I needed modifications done for I can drive it safely. I will tell you this, it is very interesting because you get two different reactions from people. Never mind when driving, but with people. People look at it and go, it's not a Mustang, go away. And get the other people who go, is that a Mustang? Let's see what it does. And I'm going, If I was 20 years younger, I might say, okay, let's, you know, go at a stoplight and go for it. And yeah, but now it's like, no, I enjoy, you know, my license a little too much.
So,
but I will say this, it does scoot from a stoplight. You push it and she go.
She go?
She go.
So let's see, Ford Mustang Mach-E, and you given it the nickname the Grey Ghost.
With the Canadian spelling, of course.
Oh, yes. G-R-E-Y.
That's correct. Everybody would say, why wouldn't you spell it the American way? And I'm going, do I look American to you?
Have you had anybody tell you, is that a Tesla?
No, but for some reason, Tesla seemed to be strangely attracted to me all of a sudden.
Oh?
Because for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. Ever since I've gotten this car, Teslas have been approaching me and then backing off. And I'm going, it's a Mach-E. It's not a space invader. I don't see why you need to suddenly, you know, get really close and then take off.
There's a joke in that, you know. He's saying Teslas were attracted to his electric vehicle. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh. Oh, that was revolting.
Revolting.
Never mind. What the hell? I can do electric jokes all night, but let's not go there.
No. Oh, Bree calls it the electric vehicle gang.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Now, one of the things this car does that's really both cute, funky, and just a little weird. The mirrors that you can see are actually, at this point in this picture, folded in.
Oh, let's okay. go. Let me put this up again here real quick. 1 second.
Okay, you can't see. All
there
right.
we go.
There you are.
Well, they now, fold in. See, that's interesting. Yes. From the other side, or it looks like.
Yes. They're power fold-in mirrors.
Okay.
The trick is, when you approach the car with a valid key, or in my case, phone as a key, in your pocket, the mirrors will fold out, and then on the ground it will project a Mustang.
Yeah.
the horse, actually.
Yeah.
And the funny part is there's actually somebody, a company, that's actually figured out a way to modify it so that when it projects on the ground it looks like the horse is actually running. And there's part of me that goes, I don't care, it's $400, that would be cool to do.
Oh, why? That deserves another trip out in your direction just to see that in your garage.
Really? It's just like, wait a minute. Prancing horse? Okay.
My goodness.
And it's weird because there are other things that they did with this car that I absolutely adore. And then there are other things where I'm going, huh? What you do that for?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is Ford will sell you a liner set for the front passengers, the rear passengers, like the footwells, right?
Right.
And the cargo area. But what don't they sell you? Answer, the seat backs on the rear seats, they don't sell you any protective covers for that.
Mm.
So it means that as you shove stuff in or fold the seats down, you know, the seat backs will get dirty. Now, the aftermarket has stepped in. And I spent $60, actually, no, closer to 70, on a set of these protectors for the back seats so that if I fold them down for whatever reason and put stuff on them, no damage.
Wow.
Now, I bought the cheaper version. There were two. The more expensive version already has the cutout for the child safety seats.
Uh-huh.
The cheaper version, which is the one I bought, you have to cut them out yourself, the holes for the safety seats.
I see.
Now I'm going, what are my chances that I'm ever going to need it? Nah, I'll just buy the cheaper section. Thank you very much.
All right. You made it all work out, huh?
Yeah. Now, putting it together was a little bit of a challenge only because what they did is they put Velcro all around the edge of this protector as you lay it down. Now, that sounds great, except you have to be very careful where you lay it down because there's also a cutout for the latch for the seat back when it's pushed back into position, right?
Uh-huh.
So the first time I did it on the first seat, it was like, not quite, and the seat wouldn't latch. I'm like, oh, that's why. Put it down and monkey around with a bit, eventually get it to work. Then the other one was just like, okay, just do this, and it'll work. But that was the bigger portion because I did the small portion. It's a split folding rear seat.
Okay.
And it's the 60-40 type, so it's right. Not the even Steven type. So yeah, that was. Yeah.
So we could fold down to put like drinks and stuff.
Yeah. Now I'll say this: the giant tablet that is the main screen with which you interact with this car. I mean, there is only literally one physical control on this screen.
Uh-huh.
They grafted on a knob for volume. Initially, it was only for volume. However, with a software update, they gave it extra functions depending on what other portions of the screen you press.
I see.
For example, if you press the fan control, the screen changes around the control knob to be not a volume knob, but a fan speed knob.
Huh.
You turn it left and right.
Okay.
And similarly, if you want to do that with the heated seats, push the heated seats, turn them up and down, and it, instead of, you know, pushing the button. Now, what I did is I just lit it on automatic because I'm going, okay, I don't think Ford would make it so hot that suddenly there'd be barbecue in the car.
Right.
And maybe the barbecue. So far, no problems.
Right.
Now, one other thing I noticed, this was hilarious to me. I picked up the car, I go home, and suddenly I see something on the rear tires. And I'm like, hey, look, they put new rear tires on this car with only 4,000 kilometers on it. They left the actual stickers. These were actual sticker tires. The stickers still on. I'm like, oh boy, somebody didn't do the final inspection before they handed me this car.
And like the stickers they leave on the NASCAR tires sometimes, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I said sticker tires. I'm going, oh boy.
Wow. Now, but I'm surprised when you talk about the center console that there's still a knob. I mean, when I drove my Tesla, all you have is the touchscreen, and you still include a knob in your vehicle for certain functions.
Well, actually, that's the big difference between the Tesla and the Ford Mach-E and others. Ford made sure there were still more physical controls than
okay.
a Tesla. For example, there's an actual wiper stalk. For example, there's still a knob to change gears. You don't swipe up and down on a screen to change gears.
Okay.
Frightens me all to no end. And there's actually a lever for turn signals. And also the ability to, you know, flash your brights and tell the moron who tries to cut you off that he appreciate you trying to take my nose off by about 3 inches there.
But no, it's very fascinating to see. And I actually read up a little bit about it. It seems like, you know, if Ford and all these other vehicles go their way, I mean, they're going to, I mean, I guess you can make an argument now that, you know, as far as features go, Tesla might have, you know, still be winning in that department in a way. But as far as stuff such as build quality, I think the Fords and several other vehicle makers are hands down above and beyond what Tesla makes, I would think, right?
Well, you and I both remember you rented a Tesla when you were up here, and I saw panel gaps on that thing, and I'm going,
yeah.
I mean, they aren't big enough to slide my hand into, but they're bigger than they should be on a modern car. You know, I mean, the
yeah.
panels should, you know, be kind of close together. Like with this car, all the panels are where they should be, and they're, you know, within reasonably close tolerances.
Yes. So you're in good shape in that regard. And now a few other questions I had for you were how easy or hard is it to do like a software update to it?
Well, they actually have it set to do over-the-air updates. Now, you see, I'm not 100% sure whether or not they have their own cell signal to do it or they piggyback off Wi-Fi, whether you're at home or somewhere where there's an open Wi-Fi. I'll explain why. Initially, I tried to get it to use my Wi-Fi in my home, which could reach out to the driveway around my building, the actual in front of my building.
Right.
And it wasn't picking up anything.
Mm.
So I thought, okay. And then when I parked the car at work, because I'm, you know, back at work again, and the car's sitting there for about 7 hours, there's one person in the building, for whatever reason, they leave their Wi-Fi access point completely open. And so I latch onto that. Within a day, the car is saying, hey, we have new updates. Hey, we have new updates. And it's been updating slowly over the last few days. Now, it hasn't had any of the major updates that require the car be shut down for half an hour while it, you know, processes them.
Right.
But as far as I can tell, it's getting updates. I'm going, okay, you didn't like my Wi-Fi at home, but you like this one? Okay.
Very interesting. And now you mentioned to me before we went on the air about an interesting thing that you listened to in the car.
Yes. For those of you that remember the animated series, Batman, the animated series that was in the early
90s. That one.
Exactly. There was an episode upon which the car's name is based. And it is Beware the Gray Ghost. Now, that's with the American spelling, of course. And the trick is, the Gray Ghost was actually voiced by the first TV Batman, Adam West.
Mm.
And they with the story, they sort of actually mirrored to a degree what happened to Adam West after the original TV series ended. Ended up getting typecast, couldn't find any other work.
Oh,
and he had some pretty low points in his life. So if you watch the episode Beware the Gray Ghost, which is on Netflix in Canada, you will see that and you'll get a sense of what Adam West went through to some degree. Now, it wasn't quite as bad as the Gray Ghost here, mm-hmm. because in this case, and I'm spoiling here for a 30-plus-year-old show, what actually happens is somebody uses a plot from one of the episodes of The Gray Ghost to commit robberies.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman first thinks it's this actor, realizes it isn't, and with the help of The Gray Ghost, the actor, figures out who it actually is. And it turns out to be a toy maker or a toy store owner who's a few Lego bricks shy of a load. Because his idea is to blackmail the city into giving him money by threatening to blow them up using toy cars.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the final twist in that episode is the toy maker is voiced by Bruce Timm, who was one of the producers of Batman the Animated Series, and the character of the toy store owner was actually drawn to resemble him. And I thought that was absolutely bananas.
There's the are you talking about that? That reminds me of the original Batman TV series where there was one set of episodes where they try to blow up the city with toy mice.
Oh yeah, okay. Now I'm trying to remember who was.
Maybe there's a correlation there.
That okay. Now remember. Almost all Batman media tends to borrow to some degree from that which has come before.
Yes.
Now, it may not be a complete ripoff, but there will be those moments where you're like, I remember this happening somewhere else.
Mm.
Why? So that's something to actually, you know, keep in mind whenever you're watching any Batman media going,
yeah,
okay, this has happened somewhere else. Let me see if I remember where.
And I just looked it up real quick. My guess was correct. Here in the U.S., it's a Max thing because obviously Warner Brothers distributed it. I'm sure they still have the rights to that and many, many other Batman things.
Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. It's funny, though, because up here, the rights tend to get piecemealed quite a bit. And you're like, okay, I think it's here. No, it's not. It's over on this other thing, which I have to then buy, or, I do have a subscription to that.
Right, right. Bree is mentioning in the chat, there's gaps in, she's referring to the Tesla, there's gaps. Makes me think of the Cybertruck. Oh, boy.
Oh, the Rustmobile.
You talk about piecemealed.
Yeah, you know, I mean, okay, the best part is, you know, you get the designer saying, please don't shoot the Cybertruck. And then people are finding out that, yeah, you expose this, you know, futuristic truck to air and it starts to rust. And you're going, not one of Ding Dong DiCarlo's better ideas.
Now let's go back to your new Mustang. How easy or difficult is it to charge?
Well, I haven't had to charge it yet. I'll probably have to charge it this weekend because I'm going to go on a bit of a trip and I'm going to need some charge for the way back. Basically, the charge door, you push the door, it pops open. Now, in terms of actually paying for the charging, Ford has actually partnered with a number of charging networks so that you can actually do it all in the Ford Pass app.
Okay.
You just give it your credit card info, you know, and I'm praying here that, you know, they don't suffer a data leak. And then you just drive up to the charger, identify the charger, and then plug in and away you go.
Right.
Now, that's for the CCS 1 standard or CCS / J1772 combo standard.
Okay.
Okay. Getting to the Tesla superchargers requires a little bit more effort. Not in terms of payment. They will, you know, allow you to do it through the Ford Pass app.
Okay.
But in terms of extra equipment you need.
Oh, the adapter.
Of course, the adapter. Now, the day I bought the car and signed off on all the paperwork, I put the car in the Ford Pass app and I immediately order the adapter from Tesla or from Ford. I get, congratulations, expected in October. And I'm like going, what? No. Now, there were two major companies that were also producing third-party Tesla chargers for CCS adapters. So there were two companies. The one I went with was a company based out of Quebec, even though the chargers themselves are built in China, because one, I thought the physical shape was a little easier for me to handle, and two, it didn't have spring-loaded catches for both ends, both the connector to the car and the connector to the actual Tesla cable. Sure. With the one I'm looking at, I've bought, it's a slide switch to unlock and lock to the Tesla cable, which I think will be a little easier for me.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. And how much is that?
Now I bought the combo pack, which was that charge adapter plus the adapter that let me use Tesla destination chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the lower power ones. So that was about $335 Canadian.
Okay. And then you're all set with that then.
Yeah, and then I'm all set. I can basically use any of Tesla's hardware as well as the hardware that the car would normally charge with.
Okay.
I'll be curious because in the States, one thing I've noticed is that they do have particular Tesla stalls that they mark as disabled access. They're wider and easier to get in and out of. And I'm going, I don't know if they do that up here.
I know.
If they do.
Yeah. I think we ran into, remember when I drove the Tesla with us coming back from Niagara Falls, we went to that supercharger in Niagara Falls on the way back. I believe there was, I don't think it was marked per se, but there was one you could kind of drive up to on the, you know, on the side instead of back in. So I guess if you have, if you're driving and you have a, you know, a disability or something, or you're towing something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be what they do. Now, the nearest supercharger to me is about 5 kilometers away, which is about 3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a brand new one.
Right, the one I was talking about before.
Now, that one is still, as I recall, only a version 3. They didn't do a version 4 version, which has the adapter already.
I see.
And a longer charge cable. Because Tesla realized when they opened it up to other makers that not everybody puts the charge port where they do.
Right.
Right? Like, if you watch any of the video loggers who have been testing these adapters with the Mach-E, what they've had to do is literally drive up to and almost hit the curb for the cable and the adapter to reach the charge port comfortably. And I look at that and I go, oh, that would make me nervous. I hope I don't have to do that. That would make me very nervous.
I've actually had to do that once in one of my rentals. Because I had to back up a little bit more because the cable was a little you know, it just didn't reach.
And that was a Tesla. So it's interesting that a Tesla charger would not have a cable long enough for a Tesla.
No, to reach in general, yeah.
Yeah, because, again, with the other manufacturers, because other manufacturers are putting them all over the place, right? Like, Ford puts it where they do on both the Mach-E and the Lightning, which is the left front fender. The Hyundai, I think they put it, like, I know one of them puts it on the nose. It might be the Polestar that puts it on the nose of the car. And so, again, there are all these different variations and permutations. Now, Tesla is saying that, hey, everybody, you should adapt the right rear of the car, which I suppose is not a bad idea, but I have a feeling that not everybody's going to say, okay, we're going to do that, or they're going to do some on the right and some on the left, like they do with gas cars.
All right.
Because as we all know, gas cars have left and right.
They do.
And yeah. unless you're looking for that little symbol next to the gas, thing in your
the
car,
triangle.
Exactly. The triangle. You're like, which side am I on? And of course, invariably, you'll go on the wrong side the first time.
Oh boy, but I would ask you so many more questions, but we don't have too much time. We feel like hot topics like this, but I'm sure that car is going to give you lots of charge and many happy years of driving. And we'll have to talk about this again after you do your first charge up to see how well it goes for you.
Yeah, I am very curious to see if it is as seamless as the Ford Pass app makes it out to be. Now, as a precaution, I did download almost every other charging app in Canada that's available just in case.
So Flow, ChargePort, yeah.
Flow, ChargePort, Shell Recharge, Petro Canada, the Tesla app.
The Tesla app? Wow.
Yeah. So I got 5 different apps plus the Ford Pass app. One of these is going to charge my car.
Well, for me, I still have the Tesla app on my phone from the previous rentals, and it's pretty useless until you pair it with a rental.
Or you break down and buy a Tesla.
Yeah, exactly. the Teslas have gone up in price, I understand, as of this month, and now you see, on X especially, for obvious reasons, all sorts of ads pop up for Teslas now.
Well, that's the funny thing. Ding Dong DiCarlo never wanted to advertise. In fact, he says he hated advertising. But I guess now that he's not, making money hand over fist on Tesla anymore, he's like, okay, fine, if we have to advertise. But oddly enough, you say the price of Tesla's going up. In Canada, they've been reducing the prices left, right, and center. Which has caused the used prices to drop precipitously as well.
Interesting.
And it's like, if you really want to push the electric cars, that's how you get it. In other words, by dropping the price, that's how you get mass adoption.
Colette says, Neff is really charged up talking about his new car.
Oh.
I don't know if you were around, Colette, 30 minutes ago when we started the show and had all these puns about electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And that's the shocking truth.
Ohm, I discussed it with you.
Ohm. I talk about ohms all the time on my job.
Indeed. Yes, well.
Yes, no worries, Colette. A few other topics I wanted to touch on tonight. Really quickly, we'll talk about the NHL and somebody getting suspended. Ryan Hartman for unsportsmanlike conduct. So he throws a hockey stick onto the ice after an empty goal. Oh, it was an empty goal OT win, which I think is pretty rare.
Yeah, because what happened, the Minnesota coach tried his luck again. And this time it didn't work out because a few weeks ago, the Minnesota coach pulled his goalie in overtime to get an extra attacker 4-on-3 and actually won the game that way. The risk factor is, and this rule, I didn't even know existed. I had to find this out, later on, that if you pull the goalie and you get scored on in overtime because you pulled the goalie, you get 0 points.
Really?
Exactly.
That's a quirk.
Well, that's a big risk, too. That's why you don't see coaches do it.
Right.
Because a point is better than zilcho.
Exactly.
Especially these days.
Wow. That is a bit of a risky move. I never knew that.
I mean, that's why they did. That's why they put that rule in, to prevent coaches from doing that, right?
I see.
So it's like...
But yes, we see the video from the Department of Player Safety saying this is unsportsmanlike conduct, and Ryan Hartman is a quote unquote repeat offender. You are suspended for 3 games.
Well, I mean, there are repeat offenders, and then there are repeat offenders. No, seriously. Like, for example, a Mr. Tom Wilson out in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He's been called out on the carpet so many times by the Department of Player Safety, I think he's worn that carpet out. which is why he ended up getting 6 games.
Right, right. But you mentioned this is a department that you think should be squashed.
Again, the idea is sound. The people running it are deaf and dumb and blind because they do not consistently enforce the rules and then have to go through all these mental gymnastics worthy of Simone Biles to try to justify them. It drives me nuts. There's a rule book. Use it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had my druthers, I would blow everybody out of there and put somebody in there and say, okay, this is the rule book. You call it. I don't care what kind of flack you take.
Yeah.
I will back you. Call the freaking rule book the way it's written.
Right, right. Well, this is something I follow now on Twitch, and I think it's the first time I've seen them post something for unsportsmanlike conduct. Well, I guess if you throw a hockey stick onto the ice and it hits somebody, then that becomes a quote-unquote player safety problem.
Yeah, if that had actually hit an official, that would have been like probably at least a 10-game suspension.
Oh, yeah.
Longer. Oh, yeah. Because once you start abusing officials, the NHL doesn't like that very much.
Mm-mm. No.
They just abuse them themselves.
Well, this is the Extreme Anime Radio Podcast, and a big part of anime for many decades, Nev, has finally sounded the last horn. Funimation, on April Fool's Day, no joke, completed their absorption by Crunchyroll, if that sentence makes any sense. Yes, they were absorbed by Crunchyroll, and the Funimation website is now just redirecting people to Crunchyroll. End of an era.
Now, I'll say it this way. I'll say that, you know, when Sony bought everybody, in this case, Funny and Crunchy, I wondered which one would fall. And in my head, I was like, I honestly thought Funimation had the more cachet, the more name recognition among the fans.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided, for whatever reason, that it would be Crunchyroll that they would pour their resources into, and that it would be Crunchyroll that would survive.
All right.
Now, will that be a good business decision? Nobody knows. I mean, the trick is now that there are so few competitors to Sony, and the ones that are still around are basically hanging on by their fingernails.
Right.
That things could get very interesting in the next little while.
Right. And I was reading, there's an article that came out about somebody online, and I've pulled up the list, who has compiled a list of Funimation titles that have not yet been migrated over to Crunchyroll. So apparently all the Funimation titles were supposed to have been migrated over, but there's, according to this list that I have here, who's from somebody by the name of Big on Anime, a total of 192 titles that are still yet to be added. Now, I would imagine that Crunchyroll is still in the process of trying to put these all through, but I guess there's a certain subsection who's of the opinion of, well, they announced this merger so long ago, they have plenty of time to do this, and they haven't.
Well, here's the problem, I think, that's behind the delay. And it has to do with licensing. Because depending on how your contract is worded, okay, your contract is worded as, for example, I cede the rights to Funimation.
Mm-hmm.
Funimation no longer exists.
Yeah.
Funimation was bought by Sony Pictures Entertainment. And now Sony Pictures Entertainment is using Crunchyroll as its proxy.
Mm.
But if the contract doesn't say successor rights will go to company, whatever company buys or is absorbed by or whatever Funimation, then you're left in legal limbo. And the problem is a lot of these titles are of the older variety where, A, I'm pretty sure they would have been licenses just to Funimation, and B, by now, there's as good a chance that the company that, you know, gave the rights to Funimation no longer exists.
Right.
So they can't go back to that company and say, okay, we need to renegotiate to put it on Crunchyroll, because they go back to the company and there's just, you know, an empty field.
Now, I'm just going to parse through this list real quick that I've pulled up as of the night we're recording this. And there are a few tweaks to some of these things that are listed, but everything on this list, as I scroll through, there are some, like you say, Nev, some old titles in here, and they really stand out. Dot Hack, that series hasn't been transferred. Ayori Aoshi, one of my favorite slice of life animes growing up, that hasn't been transferred. Aquarian, Black Butler is on the list. Boogie Pop Phantom is on the list. And some of these are either subs or dubs or both. And I think Neff just froze. Did you freeze, Neff? He did freeze. This is like the second time that I've gone through a list here on the podcast in the last few weeks. And Neff is frozen on the air. So let's see here. Maybe I should edit to the point where we pick up the show.
Okay, that was weird because Discord decided to spontaneously combust. I tried to kill it in Task Manager, thought I had, tried to start it again, no, and apparently sent my entire system into a brain cramp requiring a complete restart. And then when I restarted, my antivirus is like, oh, I'm not going to let you turn on the camera.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what? You were just...
Kind of sometimes the problem having with the camera I have now sometimes is trying to come up and sometimes it doesn't want to, so.
Yeah, I was none too pleased, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm going, that makes no logical sense, but then again, it's Windows.
Yeah. But actually, you gave me a good point to edit in when we do this podcast editing later.
Ah, at least something went right tonight.
Yeah. Though I think what I'm going to do is for the audio version, I'm going to edit it out. And when I put this on YouTube, I may just leave in my rant and see how that goes.
Oh, I missed a rant. Oh, dear. A rant from JR. Now, that's definitely something.
Oh, no, not a rant, but you know what I mean. Just a regular conversation. Talking about the weather over here and...
Well, I was going to say, when you're having a regular conversation with yourself and... it might be more, you know, entertaining than talking to me, but hey.
JR, so we have different names for this now. Fireside chat or ramble some ramblings. But no, let's go back to our conversation, Neff. When you left us, not voluntarily, of course, I was going over this list that was found on the internet of these titles that have not been transferred over. And some of these really stick out. Dot Hack is in here. Ayori Aoshi, which I talked a little bit about in my fireside chat, if you will. I used to own a DVD visual novel of Ayori Aoshi, where the way you saved your game is by seeing a code appear on the screen, writing down that code, and then when you restart the DVD, you put in that code again.
Okay, now I actually have a version that's on the PC CD-ROM. Now, whether or not, even if I could find a, you know, DVD player that could hook up to a computer, would the disc still work? Still have the box. I still have the actual, you know, boxes the thing came in. Like two DVDs, two CDs worth, and it was like, okay, it was fun for what it was.
I'm going through some of these other titles that are here. I think when I noticed you were off, I mentioned Black Butler. All Black Butler's not on Crunchyroll just yet. Going to the next page, I see a few Dragon Ball movies. The dubs of those are not available on Crunchyroll yet. Durarara, Galaxy Angel. There's another one. Gurren Lagann. The dub is not available. And let's see. Ikki Tozen. You were talking about really old. The next page. Let's see. One of the Monogatari anime is listed there. Gundam Seed and Gundam Unicorn. Moon Phase? You remember Tsukuyomi Moon Phase? That's an anime I watched when I was in college, and I think I stopped like four episodes short.
I have the DVDs, including one of them signed by some of the voice actors and one of the producers involved, I believe.
Ooh, nice, nice. Outlaw Star is on the list. Let's see. Now, Steins Gate is on the list.
I'm seeing a bit of a commonality.
Mm.
One, these were former Pioneer / Genyan titles, some of them. Mm. Some of them were Bandai titles. And Bandai is notorious when it comes to their rights issues, right? So
yeah,
wouldn't surprise me if they had one of those contracts I mentioned earlier before I got knocked off, where it says Funimation, full stop, right? And now that Funimation no longer exists, they're like, well, sorry.
To finish off this list, Tenchi Muyo, all the Slayers series, Vision of Escaflowne. Let's see. And then we have a few others that I don't recognize. But yes, Slayers, I think, was Pioneer as well, wouldn't they?
Yes, I believe so.
So there is a commonality there. Very, very interesting to pick up on that.
Well, the problem is I've either watched or had most of these titles in my collection. So
yeah,
it's immediately going, oh yeah, that one. Oh yeah, that one. Okay, Pioneer / Genyan. There we go.
Well, if Moonphase comes back onto Crunchyroll, I think I will rewatch that series from start to finish, because that was a nice series for me to watch. Back in my youth, I think I watched this, and I might have, I can't remember how I watched Moon Phase. It might have been something that was pulled from,
the seas, yes. when it was 480p, if you were lucky.
Yeah.
If you were lucky, there wasn't a virus hidden in there somewhere.
Yeah. And, now, Funimation, doesn't say anything in their news releases, anything specific in the last few days, if I looked correctly, about the closure of Funimation. But very interestingly, what they do announce today is that they are bringing Profiles to Crunchyroll. So if you are a premium subscriber of Crunchyroll, later in the month, you will be able to create several profiles for the anime buffs in your family.
Well, that's mostly so that, you know, mom and dad can have their shows and Junior can have their shows, and never the twain shall meet. Then again, Junior's probably the one watching High School DxD, where mom and dad are watching something like Grave of the Fireflies.
But yeah, that's I saw that interesting. So it's going to go in line with many other streaming apps these days, where you create several profiles.
And then there's, you know, the competition, who recently revamped their apps and website, blew away the profiles function that they had, and got absolutely lambasted for it, and is trying desperately to bring it back in. Meanwhile, they announced a price increase on top of that.
High Dive?
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's amazing. You literally carpet bomb your own app and destroy it, destroy your website, and then you ask for a price increase. I'm going, no. And I mean, it's like, okay, if the website revamp had been finished, because it's obvious they just rushed something out the door.
Yeah.
If it had been finished, and they could say, look at our shiny website, and by the way, we do need to pay for this, so we're going to, you know, ding you a few bucks more a month or a few bucks more a year.
Mm-hmm.
If that had happened, I think people would have grumbled but understood. But to release the half-baked, half-off product they did, and then kick you in the teeth and say, and besides this, we want more money. I mean, most people are going, yeah, no, they're not happy.
Mm.
Especially given the dearth of new content from this anime season and the fact that they're only, you know, dubbing some older shows on top of that, people are going, how much longer is High Dive going to survive as a going concern?
Since we are at the top of the hour, Neff, I'll ask you one more question about streaming in general. I don't know if we've addressed this yet, and I just wanted to get your two cents on it. I don't know how to process this, but some believe that the quote-unquote streaming bubble has popped with all these rate increases going on other stuff. What's your take on that?
Unfortunately, I think the bubble will only pop when people actually stop buying. Because rights for everything are going up. And so all these companies have to make money. I'll tell a quick little story that just came across my desk. Rogers, who has the NHL rights in Canada, including the streaming rights,
mm-hmm.
is in serious talks with Amazon to, as of next year, for the remainder of their contract, siphon off the Monday night package to Amazon Canada.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, does that mean we pay for another subscription? Quite likely.
Hmm.
And people are already going, excuse you? You're the ones who, you know, paid $5 billion over 12 years. Why should we have to suffer for your incompetence?
Mm-hmm.
And again, everything was signed before COVID, before, you know, right. all this other stuff happened. So I can't say, like, I knew it was an overpay. When you're talking $5 billion U.S. over 12 years,
mm-hmm.
I said that was insane. And yeah. I said it would eventually bite, you know, Rogers in the butt. Oh, it's been biting them all right.
Mm.
They have over the years laid off staff, cut back on programming, all to pay for this albatross of a deal. But the NHL thinks somehow that when the rights come up in Canada in a couple of years, they're going to make as much or more than they did with this deal.
Hmm.
And I'm just shaking my head going, nope, that's not going to happen. This is going to be where the NHL prices themselves out of literally their home market.
Hmm.
Or it ends up going all, I think it'll end up going all streaming,
mm-hmm.
whether it be Amazon or DAZN or somebody else.
Right.
But I think the days of hockey on linear TV, whether it be over the air or cable, are seriously numbered now.
Yeah.
Because of the need for money.
They always pass the cost to consumers in some way. Well, I could tell you about what JetBlue's doing now. Going to like dynamic pricing for when you check luggage on their flights.
What?
Yeah, they want to charge more to check luggage during peak travel periods, which apparently includes the entire month of April. That is peak travel, apparently, according to them.
I would say that was an April Fool's joke, but sadly enough, apparently there are some carriers who would actually, you know, agree to do that.
Yeah. That's why if I stick domestic, I may stick with Southwest, even though the legroom isn't, you know, very well. The legroom is not too bad, but...
Well, okay, I'll say it this way. If this succeeds in any way, shape, or form, And I suspect the Canadian carriers will try this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they already tried crap. They're actually raising the price of checking bags.
Mm.
Which, of course, will lead to a Hunger Games-style mad dash for the overhead bins.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of doing the opposite, which would be charge you if you take a carry-on, and then you'd be able to put everything in the bottom of the plane, because nobody would pay the carry-on price.
Yeah.
Almost nobody. So I'm just going...
Exactly. Reminds me of dynamic pricing that Wendy's tried to do. Yeah, I heard that about news.
Oh, yeah, they tried that. They announced that to come to Canada, too, and everybody said, congratulations, I just won't go to Wendy's. And they heard that loud and clear because everybody was saying it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, can you imagine? Mm. You go to Wendy's at 5 to 4, and it's one price. You go 10 after 4, and it's a higher price.
Right.
Like, what?
Isn't that food delivery also trying to do that too? Yeah, I mean, there are some places where, you know, if you do food delivery, the pricing is a little bit different. I think that's the norm around here too.
You know what? I haven't paid attention because when I order food in, it's like, it's usually a Saturday night, mm-hmm. and it's just like, never, I'll pay it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get my ramen fixed safely.
Well, that will wrap up this podcast for tonight. Issues and all, but no worries, Neff. We made it through another hour.
Yes, well, I do apologize. I will make sure to summarily kick my computer in the head after we're off the air. Finally.
Well, before you do that, let's go through the closing commentary.
If you have any questions, concerns, compliments, or complaints about this podcast or any of our Twitch streams, drop us a line at extremeanimeradio@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Go to linktree.com/anime radio. There you'll find links to our Facebook account, our X account, our Instagram account, our Twitch server, our YouTube channel, or Anchor or archive versions of this podcast, which are available at anchor.fm/anime radio or your favorite podcasting platform.
So, next podcast is to be announced. It will happen later in the month. Like I said, the schedule for the next couple of weeks streaming-wise will be slightly different. We're going to pick up on Apollo Justice later in the month for sure. Tonight, however, we are going to, what do we say, Super Mario RPG, right?
I think so, yeah. So I can learn from you and, you know, get past where I'm stuck.
I've got everything hooked up for that. We will get to that in a moment. But as far as the podcast is concerned, we thank you so much for listening, and we thank you so much for watching, and as always, for your support. For Neff, I'm JR. Thank you for watching and listening, and remember,
keep on looking out for the Extreme Radio Twitch streams, and don't forget, archive versions of our podcast are available at anchor.fm/anime radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night. See you next time.